At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right. Hey, this is Act 2 of the podcast. We're getting right back into it. If you missed Act 1, go back and listen to that thing. Otherwise, this isn't going to make any sense. Okay, see ya. All right. I want to get into this story. I don't know what the hell is going on here, but in the community of Jackson, Michigan, which I know very little about this part of Michigan, that's like kind of in the middle but south, southern lower peninsula, kind of near Ann Arbor. There's a prison there. That's all I know about it. And it's near a NASCAR track, I think. This guy has an ice cream shop, but there's a garage in the back of the ice cream shop. And I guess they rent out the space for the garage. The guy who owns the ice cream shop, the stuff that's in the garage is not his. And this is going to trigger some of you. The guy who owns the ice cream shop was informed that there's a freezer in there. And whoever that belongs to, they opened up the freezer and there was a 10 frozen dogs. And I'm not sure what's going on. I heard very little of this story. I'm not sure. Is someone using the dogs to like make dog burgers?
Frozen dogs are found frozen in a garage in Jackson. It's our top story at 6. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jorma Duran. Siobhan Klepfer has the holiday off. Sunday afternoon, police and animal control officers responded to a call about the discovery of more than a dozen dead dogs found by...
This guy looks like he's getting ready to start laughing for some reason.
...behind the Parlor of Jackson ice cream shop. 6 News reporter Sean Graney was in Jackson today and spoke to the owner about these developments, and he has more for you now.
The owner of the Parlor ice cream shop here in Jackson says when he got the call from his son in one of his garages on Sunday...
This guy has a tendency, this Sean Graney. There's too much mouth movement for the words that he's saying. You know? He's like, the people who are in the parlor are concerned about what was in the back of the parlor in a freezer as they found dead frozen dogs.
The owner of the Parlor ice cream shop here in Jackson says when he got the call from his son...
He's a little blinky, too. I think they got this guy from the Tourette School of Broadcasting.
In one of his garages on Sunday, he immediately knew something was not right.
Deceased dogs inside.
Dead dogs frozen inside of a cooler that owner Scott Pienta says belongs to someone who used to work in the area behind the restaurant.
I had no idea. We just thought it was just more of her stuff. I wasn't going through all of her possessions that she had prior to me buying this building. We're just giving her time to get everything out of here.
Pienta says the discovery happened after repeated attempts to have the person clear the space out.
Roughly almost 2.5 months now, we've been dealing with trying to get her to get the stuff out of here. It's been a lot of threats by me and patience. We're getting to that point where we're bringing our attorneys involved.
Pienta purchased the garage.
We're bringing our attorneys involved?
Garage behind the renowned restaurant in March of 2017 with hopes to expand.
Because we are trying to start the next set of renovations, which starts in the garage.
Yeah, we don't give a shit about this. They need to go arrest this bitch and find out why there's frozen dogs in the goddamn cooler.
To expand on what we already have here.
We were unable to reach out to the person Pienta believes is responsible.
Why?
And both Jackson Police and Jackson County Animal Control could not be reached for a comment.
This is ridiculous. then don't go to the do the story. You wait. I mean, put some time into this thing.
Because of the holiday. Here for you in Jackson, Sean Graney, 6 News.
What a ridiculous story.
Stay tuned to 6 News as we continue to follow this developing story. We should hear more from the
information.
Police.
I mean, why in the world would someone have 10 frozen dogs in a cooler? Young Adam Schwab says the reporter sounds like Easy Rhyme. Starman says, I'd like 2 scoops of Springer Spaniel, please. Tyler says, that's probably a Dippin' Dots freezer that Stu has to collect now. Molly says, I feel like this might be taxidermy as a hobby, but WTF. That's the first thing you've contributed on the chat today that hasn't been annoying. Adam Balboa with a horrible joke. Do they serve hot dogs? Rebecca says they're eating the cats and dogs. Yeah, just like that Trump thing, remember? Yeah, I'm curious as to what the hell. Backlog for cremation, says Bob. All right, I never did tell that story about the worst financial thing that I'd been involved in. There's a couple of them. There's the student loans. When I was going to college, you know, you apply for the loan and they look at the amount of money that your parents are making and say, all right, since your parents will see their tax records, they should be able to contribute some of this. So we are offering this much. Now, it wasn't much because they, for whatever reason, they had that type of policy in place. So I couldn't get any money. Plus, I was a horrible student. But then I got married. Now I don't have to worry about my parents. I'm independent. So they look at my own tax records and Pooh Bears. We didn't make any money. So they go, all right, we're going to give you all this money. So I'm like, fuck yes. Woo! So all that money rolls in. And then it finally gets to a point where I'm done with school and I've used all my forbearances and the interest has accrued and you got to pay it. And it was like north of $100,000. So I'm like, oh my God, it's fucking terrible. I can't believe it. And then finally I got my act together. I got with the right guy who said, why are you paying the minimum on this? You need to pay it off. Beg, borrow, steal. Get that fucking money and stop paying it. It's an 8% loan, you asshole. So I finally got, okay, so that's done. Then there was the moment Pooh Bear's father passed. And he's got a home in this area of Michigan known as Birmingham. Now, it's right on the edge of Birmingham. So Birmingham is a high-rent district. But this is not a high-rent district home. Any of the homes on this street are not high-rent district. However, over time, builders were tearing down those homes and putting these high-rent homes on them, multi-million dollar homes. They're known as Bigfoots because they're enormous homes on a plot, and it looks almost unnatural how much space is occupied by these large homes, okay? So the Bigfoot homes are going up, and it's driving the cost of the property up. So with the home that my wife's dad was in, if someone were to buy it, they would immediately rip it down and build a Bigfoot. So back then, the home, this is just as this whole process, this, I don't want to say gentrification, but it kind of was. They were squeezing out the middle class to make higher end homes. That's good for if you're selling the home. Now, the home is paid for, and it's divided up between Reddy, that's what my brother-in-law is called, Diana, Pooh Bear, the now-deceased David, and the NFK. They have the home. And David and the NFK are living in a home just down the street, their own place. Well, they stopped paying on it, and it went into foreclosure, their home. So they got run out of that one, and they moved into this one, the free and clear home. Now, this is where the problem started. Pooh should have had them buy her out, okay, which would have been a lot of money. Instead, she goes, oh, yeah, it's fine. They go ahead and they take the home and they mortgage it, and they get $100,000. And then they use that money to pay off credit card bills and shit like that, and beer. And so they're paying $1,000 a month on this note. And the time, eventually they fall on hard times, lose their jobs. They can't pay it anymore. So who do they call? Well, eventually, for a year, I'm paying on the thing, trying to get somebody to buy it, or the market was in the shitter. Eventually, we ended up selling that thing in a short sale, and we got pennies on the dollar, okay? And I think they got like $60,000 for this home, which could easily have sold for like $300,000, because somebody's going to rip that fucking thing down and build a $2.5 million home and sell it for $5 million. Ah, fucking A. So, oh, just roped. Now we were passive participants in that. That one's more on Pooh Bear than me. Okay. But that was ugly too. Never will that money come back. Holy shit. I've given so much money away over the years, it's sickening. I had a family member reach out and said, I need $10,000. You got it. You got it. Gave him the money. Time passes. I need more money. Oh, my God. Now, eventually, it worked out where once you get money involved with family, it's a disaster. It's an absolute disaster. Never, ever, ever do that. That ended up because then eventually got to a point where I like had to like turn off the spigot. And then I'm an asshole, and then I'm hated. It was so bad. Oh, my God. And I'm like, I don't even want to hear it. I don't want the money back. Just take it. You can have it. And nobody ever asks me anymore. Ugh. Holy shit. Megan says, hey, EZ, can I have $1,000? Oh, sure, why not? Sure. That was so bad. Okay. All right, I'm kind of bummed at dogs in the freezer story. I needed more on that one. Trump has pardoned two more people. I don't know if you guys are aware who Todd and Julie Chrisley are. They had a reality show. Boy, I don't know why Trump does this. He has commuted the fraud and tax evasion convictions on these two. They were serving 12 and 7-year sentences for bank fraud and tax evasion. I wish when Trump does a pardon, we get like a full explanation as to why he would do that. Likely by today, Trump is going to pardon this couple. They were found guilty of fraud and tax evasion in 2022. They became known for the reality series Chrisley Knows Best. They were convicted of conspiring to defraud community banks of more than $30 million. in fraudulent loans as well as tax evasion. They got 12 to 7. They got 12 and 7 years each. I don't know who got more. Their sentences were later reduced. Okay. It's a terrible thing, but it's a great thing, Trump says, because it's a terrible thing, but it's a great thing because your parents are going to be free and clean. And I hope we can do it by tomorrow. Is that okay? We'll try getting it done tomorrow. Trump told their daughter Savannah Chrisley and son Chase, in a phone call from the Oval Office on Tuesday. Why? Why would you do that? He posted it to an ex account of a White House aide. The post was captioned, "Trump knows best." Savannah Chrisley, the daughter, had been advocating for their release since they went to prison in January and reached out to Trump for a pardon earlier this year after their conviction was upheld by a 3-judge panel last summer. These two look quite punchable. The dude, it's just weird. His eyes are too high on his head. And she looks like one of the chicks on Righteous Gemstones. That's a weird look for these two. They look untrustworthy. Thank you so much, Mr. President, Savannah could be heard saying on the call. Chase, through tears, added, "I just want to say thank you for bringing my parents back. If my parents defrauded people, I'd be like, fuck you. Stay there."
Oh, my.
This is Savannah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, y'all, I tried to do an Instagram Live earlier, and I was driving, trying to get
home. I'm too stupid to know how to do this.
Get my life together, and we are freaking out over here. Well, I have shed so many tears. The president called me personally as I was walking into Sam's Club.
Okay, raise your hand if you hate this chick.
And notified me that he was signing pardon paperwork for both of my parents. So both my parents are coming home tonight or tomorrow, and I still don't believe it's real. I'm freaking out. The fact that the president called me,
this is embarrassing.
We'll forever be grateful for President Trump, his administration, and everyone along the way, all of my lawyers, the people who put in countless hours and effort and love for my family.
There, I can't watch another second of that. In a perfect world, these two will get out of prison and get struck by lightning. Tyler says, "How many nudes do you think Trump asked her to send him in exchange for the pardons?" Megan says she's a pageant kid. Rebecca says the daughter Savannah is his type and she's MAGA. So I don't know. Is the suggestion here that he had sex like with the daughter while the mom and dad would watch? Is that the deal that maybe he cut? Adam writes, "So we'll deport innocent citizens, but we'll pardon convicted felons." Got it. Yes. Yes, that's exactly what we are doing. Holy shit. Let's see. Trump told Savannah and Chase to give their parents his regards and wish them a good life. Quote, "They were given pretty harsh treatment based on what I'm hearing. Pretty harsh treatment," Trump said. Boy, he writes. I can hear his voice the way he writes. "Congratulate your parents. And I hear they're terrific people. This should not have happened." He continued, "They have good children. You're no longer children, but I'll say it anyway. They have good children, don't they, huh?" Standing behind Trump was Alice Marie Johnson, whose sentence on drug charges he commuted during his first term and whom he appointed as his pardon czar in February. Alice has a lot to do with this, Trump told Savannah and Chase. Wow. In July 2024, Savannah gave a speech at the RNC in which she alleged that her family had been persecuted by rogue prosecutors in Fulton County, Georgia. Prosecutors said the couple walked away from their responsibility for repayment when Todd Chrisley declared bankruptcy and left $20 million in unpaid loans. A White House official who spoke on condition of anonymity to discuss decisions that hadn't been made public said the pardons would be forthcoming. The Chrisley's attorney, Alex Little, told Fox News Digital the pardon corrects a deep injustice and restores two devoted parents to their family and community. I just wish I could have more explanation than just, yeah, they deserve it. Trump recognized what we've argued from the beginning. Todd and Julie were targeted because of their conservative values and high profile. Their prosecution was tainted by multiple constitutional violations and political bias. Yeah, I don't believe that. I think they're fucking scumbags. This is the family. You may notice, boy, I can see where the son gets his looks. He looks just like his mom. Fucking ugly. I don't know how they actually made attractive children. Oh, that's a horrible image. My God. I hate these people. I've never seen any of their shows. Tyler says, Savannah, don't forget about your promise. A Trump sandwich between you and your mom. Wolverine Bronco says a convicted felon pardoning convicted felons. Not surprising. I always love it when these stories reveal themselves and my MAGA friends on here, they go silent. They don't say shit. Because they know there's nothing that they can say. My God. I mean, it's okay if you MAGA scum say, yeah, I love Trump and he's doing a great job, but this is bullshit. You can do that, you know. You can actually criticize him, you morons. What the hell? God, that is ugly. Ladies and gentlemen, I need to take a pee-pee break. I apologize. I will be back. All right, I'm back. We are, excuse me. Oh, damn it. Hang on. Jesus. A week and 2 days away from the royal wedding between Madison and Ash. And I got to thinking that the NFK, you know, we got to get something for him to wear. Now, he bought a suit. Yes, that suit from the men's warehouse for the last wedding. Now, this was the infamous suit that he crapped in the pants. And for those of you who don't know, episode number 900 and something is the Gary from the men's warehouse incident. If some of you know that by heart, could you please put that number in? That is the suit. Now, after that incident, and then the pants were then cleaned, the suit was worn at the wedding. Tyler says, I wonder if Gary is still working or if this incident caused him to retire early. So I said to Pooh Bear, I go, yeah, we got to get the suit. And she goes, I don't know if he's going to need to wear the coat. But I went into the closet and there's the suit hanging there. And it's episode number 940. And I'm thinking that the pants would be part of it, you know, on the same hanger. You know, you can hang the pants up and the suit coat. No pants. Where the fuck are the pants? And then I look at the jacket, and then I was reminded that suit on the day of the wedding that he wore it to, Jacqueline and Justin's. I don't know if I ever told this story, but he had his tiramisu, and I think he sneezed or something went south or someone ran into him. And the tiramisu, he hit. The whole thing went onto the lapel of the jacket and kind of rolled down. And he caught it on the plate. And he had to leave early. Jim drove him home. And when he was leaving, I go, what the fuck happened to your coat? And he goes, tiramisu. So the tiramisu, and then he took the coat off and he hung it up. And it's been in the closet ever since. So yesterday I took a look at it and I go, and I had forgotten what the fuck happened. And I go, what the fuck happened here? He goes, that's not tiramisu, remember? So it's been on there for 2.5 years, this tiramisu on the jacket. So I'm like, boy, this suit, it's been shit in and it's got tiramisu on it. And that has not been cleaned. So I'm wondering how clean that is going to get. You know, I mean, if you take it back to that lady at the dry cleaner, Martha, who I will never forget the look on her face when I told her that these are the pants and there's shit in them. And she had to clean them. And she said, I'll do it. And she looked like... you know, like I saw a documentary of these military dudes who raided Bin Laden's house. They were all like, I'll do it. I'll do it. She was like that. She was up for the task. She really dominated that and got those fucking pants clean. Tyler says, of course, he just hung it up. Totally NFK style. I don't know if he's going to wear the suit coat, but the pants for sure. You all right, O'Neill? The pants for sure they need to be cleaned and pressed. So we've got that going for us. And she actually set the pants on the back of a chair. And I'm just taking a look at the pants thinking, about you guys. I go, holy shit. Those are the pants. I will never forget. Now, I don't want to tell the story again. I don't want to start from the beginning on that. Just listen to show number 940. You must listen to show number 940. Maybe one day it'll come again where I tell it organically. And this is kind of organically, but it's you need to listen to it from 24 hours after the incident happened. There is so much pain and anguish in my voice. And I don't think I actually laughed in that story. I was more flustered, discombobulated, and disgusted with what had gone on and amazed. I was absolutely floored with all of those circumstances. When that all happened, I've never gone back and listened to it. I just know how I felt. I just know that I was seated in this spot when that fucking phone rang and Gary telling me this news, you got to hear it. Show number 940. Listen to it and just enjoy it. Megan says, can we listen to it together? We could have a Gary from the Men's Warehouse story listening party, you know, where we listen to it and then pause it to comment on what I'm commenting on. You know what I mean? Oh, that would be fantastic. Maybe one day. I don't know. I don't know. All I'd like to do now is just hype it. Megan says, I might throw in some sponsorship money for a story time with you listening back live. Oh, God. Oh. Who are these Men's Warehouse story? The podcast is the best setting to tell that story. Like, that story requires so much intricate drilling down that it can't be hindered by, like, radio, you know? Oh, so many different layers to that. Show number 940. Listen to it as soon as you're done with this show. Okay? If you've never listened to it, you must listen to it. I really have to work hard to not want to, like, break it down. I have this ridiculous fucking story about Jussie Smollett that I want to get to. But before I get to that, thank you as always to my key sponsors, like Kuiper Tree Care. If you need a tree removed, if you need a, they have tree removal, stump grinding, tree pruning, tree risk assessment, and storm damage cleanup. They can do it all. Kuiper Tree Care, K-U-I-P-E-R, KuiperTreeCare.com, 616-828-8225. That's 616-828-8225. Call and mention my name. If you need a dumpster, reach out to Dumpaholics, D-U-M-P-A-H-A-U-L-I-C-S, Dumpaholics, 616-375-9962. That's 616-375-9962. Great partner of the Eric Zane Show podcast. We mentioned Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV earlier. I'm doing it again. So the premier place to get your vehicle repaired. They service all makes and models. They service EVs. They service hybrids. If you get in the weeds, they can help you. 616-532-6600. You can find them online at irvines.com, and that's ervines.com. ervines.com. 616-532-6600 for Irvines. So if you remember in the Jussie Smollett case, or as Dave Chappelle would say, Jussie Smollett, the famous French actor. He said he was walking down the street getting a sub sandwich, middle of the night in Chicago. Two white guys wearing MAGA hats and holding nooses and bottles of bleach said, hey, they happened to just happen to stumble upon Jussie Smollett. Are you that F and N word from Empire? Hey, we're going to get you. And then they held him down and poured bleach on him and put a noose around his neck and ran off into the night. And nobody believed that story. And it ended up coming unraveled. The whole story became unraveled. They actually found the two dudes who were involved to help Smollett put this whole thing together. I don't know why he wanted to do it in the first fucking place. These two dudes are seen on video at the Home Depot buying rope and bleach and all sorts of shit to make it, to carry this thing out. Like, he was, Smollett's actually, he didn't just make it up. He actually had the deed done. and then blamed white guys who had MAGA hats. Now, it never happened. And it fell apart. And I don't know why. I forget the details as to why the prosecution dropped the charges against him. But he has always maintained that this was done to him. This has been deny till you die to the extreme, despite overwhelming evidence. Part of this case had the city of Chicago. They had been suing Smollett to recover the amount of money that they spent to try to find out who did this initially. They spent quite a bit of money and whatever. Investigation costs, that all has costs, pay the people to do it and shit like that. They were trying to get their money back. Well, now there has been a settlement and that is going away. But what I find amazing in all of this is Smollett continues to like double, triple, and quadruple down on all of this. And it's so fucking embarrassing. Smollett addressed the resolution in a public statement shared Friday on Instagram. He writes, over 6 years ago, after it was reported I had been jumped, city officials in Chicago set out to convince the public that I willfully set an assault against myself. This false narrative has left a stain on my character that will not soon disappear, he wrote. He added, these officials wanted my money and wanted my confession for something I did not do. Today, it should be clear, they have received neither. Smollett said his decision to settle, because there was a settlement, was not the most difficult one to make, explaining, I was presented with an opportunity to make a charitable donation in exchange for the case being dismissed. Calling Chicago his former home, he noted making a donation to benefit Chicago communities that are too often neglected by those in power will always be something I support. He also announced a separate $10,000 donation to the Chicago Torture Justice Center, writing to anyone who has had to prove that they have in fact been violated. You know how difficult this can be to navigate. I stand with and for you. He has somehow managed to, I think, wind up on top. In March of 2019, Smollett forfeited his $10,000 bond to the city and agreed to perform 16 hours of community service as part of a separate agreement to drop all criminal charges related to the alleged false report. The city filed the lawsuit in 2019 over $130,000. Smollett filed a counter lawsuit against the city of Chicago, claiming the authorities maliciously prosecuted him in bad faith and filed criminal charges against him without probable cause. Two brothers, Abimbala and Olabinjo Osundairo, later admitted that Smollett paid them $3,500 to help him orchestrate and stage the crime. After Smollett got pissed that a letter threatening him sent to the Fox studio where the television series Empire was filmed did not get enough attention. So that's why he did it. Police accused Smollett of writing that letter. The brothers were not charged. As part of the new settlement agreement, Smollett will donate $50,000 to Building Brighter Future Centers for the Arts, a local nonprofit serving underprivileged youth in Chicago, blah, blah, blah. The donation was made in exchange for the dismissal of the city's lawsuit against Smollett. Yeah, this is bullshit. If it were like a bigger star, I could see them getting away with this. It's fucking terrible. Man Bun Chris says, Juicy Smollett, the French actor, as Chappelle would say. Cole says, had he not done it, none of us would even know who he is. It's true. All right, so fuck that guy. I'm going to introduce you to a football player named Desmond Watson. He is the fattest player that has ever walked the planet. He was drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's 6'6", and his weight is 450 pounds. He's officially the heaviest player in NFL history. I think, we can watch him play here. This is a play where the Florida quarterback, when he was at college, they put him in the backfield to try to get a first down. Like, here's the first down line, 1 yard away, and they hand the ball off to this dude. I've never seen this.
America wants to see Watson get the call here. He does!
Love it! Love it!
And he gets there for
love
a first
it.
Down!
The big fella!
All right, now he can barely move there. Watch how slow he is.
Wants to see Watson get the call here. He does!
Love it! Love it!
And he gets...
Okay, so he did it. Everybody was... You all right over there, Bruce? My God. Now, I'm anxious to see what this guy can do. I think he's going to be a defensive lineman. Isn't that too big? I mean, isn't that wouldn't there be a concern that his heart would like explode? But I guess they're happy. Previous big guys, there was a dude for the Lions named Aaron Gibson. He tipped the scales at 4'10". The fridge was 382. But this guy's north of 450. I don't know, man. Maybe it'll work out, but that sounds fucking horrible. I would hate to have to go up against that guy. Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, scientists have just... I saw this headline, and I was like, okay, maybe this is something that we can go with here when it comes to UFOs. But it was reported that scientists witnessed a giant flying orb in the sky. You know, like as big as this room. And then it crash landed. And then the story is they walked up to it to investigate. And there's no like seams. There's no welds. It's nothing. And I think it's a big pile of bullshit on this story, because scientists said, "Oh yeah, it's great. It's a UFO." Sarah Rumpf-Witten wrote this article, and God, I guess I gotta play it now. Because I had a written story. You can tell I'm struggling to find it. And it's not available. It's driving me nuts. So I don't know if I'm going to do this story now. I might have to come back to it. Man Bun Chris says, Zaniacs and NFL players now have something in common. I don't think the Zaniacs were quite that big. All right, let's see if there's anything here. I don't know if this is going to work out.
Okay. I think it's fascinating. I think that... So what I think is that we are entering... I mean, let me just frame this from a bigger picture, because this is a small part of a bigger picture, right? So we are entering a time when... we are starting as humans to recognize we don't have the control that we thought we had over
everything. I mean, I think we kind of got human.
All right, I'm out. This is ridiculous. What I was excited to talk about was it landed and no one has any video. And then they're like, we think it might be an art project. Like her, she said, it might be an art project. Okay, so yeah, I think it might. If you don't have any video of it flying, you tell everybody that it was flying, but we don't have video of it flying. And then the first thing out of your mouth is, I don't think it's an alien. I think it's an art project. Damn it. Kim Jong-un is pissed off, and I think someone is going to die because of it. They had built a massive battleship. I don't know if it was a battleship, but it was a big ship, warship. And Kim was there to witness it. And, you know, all the dignitaries and Kim and everybody's clapping. And I don't know if you've ever seen a vessel get berthed when it gets, like, pushed into the water or it slides in. Well, this one was done poorly, and the ship ended up flipping on its side. It was all fucked up. And so now this ship that they spent hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars on, is laying sideways in the berthing bay in North Korea. Now, there isn't any footage of it, because getting any footage out of North Korea is a goddamn nightmare. But supposedly, he was so pissed off, he announced that whoever fucked up, that this was a criminal act, which means you're going to die. The state-run Korean Central News Agency reported that the launch failed after the vessel became stuck on the launching sled and tipped, badly damaging the ship. The television anchor said that it was caused by inexperienced command and operational carelessness. Yeah, if anything goes wrong in North Korea, people die. In the course of the launch, the launch slide of the stern, it goes into the why it happened. Who cares about that? All you need to know is that it's fucked up. The 5,000-ton destroyer is badly damaged. Kim sternly warned several government bodies and institutions, saying that somebody would end up paying for this dearly. Kim, during the ceremony, Kim said the ship's construction represented a breakthrough in North Korea's naval modernization. He also said he intends to build a blue water operational fleet, meaning a force capable of operating in open water rather than solely in the coastal waters around the Korean Peninsula. Yeah. I don't know if anybody believes him. Do you remember in the last Trump presidency where Trump, like, met with Kim? It was Trump and Dennis Rodman, like, regularly going to North Korea. In the first presidency, he hasn't been dealing with that at all. I don't even remember what the focus in the first presidency was. I think this presidency has been much more focused on the crazy shit that he is that he's doing. You know, I mean, he has been hyper focused to make sure that all the brown people are kicked out of the country and that all the people that deserve to be in prison are freed. That has been an absolute goal. And tariffs, you know, and this is what we talked about. He has been hyper-focused on actually getting done what he wants to do. And nobody likes that. I shouldn't say that. People who didn't vote for him sure don't like it. But there's not a damn thing we can do about it, so we might as well just enjoy it. Enjoy the ride. Oh, my God. All right. I want to read the quote by Terry Bradshaw, because him being a former Pittsburgh Steeler player throughout his entire career, and he is not a fan of Aaron Rodgers. Who is? Nobody likes Aaron Rodgers. So the idea has been that possibly the Pittsburgh Steelers were going to pick up Aaron Rodgers. And Bradshaw His quote is, "That's a joke. That to me is just a joke. What are you going to do? Bring him in for 1 year? Are you kidding me? That guy needs to stay in California. Go somewhere and chew on bark and whisper to the gods out there." Outstanding work by old man Bradshaw. Folks, if you have a nomination for Asshole of the Day, please leave them in the chat. By all means. I sometimes forget about what the hell I talked about, so it's tough for me. There's racing this weekend at Berlin. You can get tickets at berlinraceway.com. You can buy them up until 11:59 Friday night for $14. After that, the price goes up. BerlinRaceway.com. 15 and under free. Parking free. You can bring in a 12x18 cooler with all your snacks. No glass, please. No alcohol. BerlinRaceway.com for details. When it comes to getting a haircut, there's only one place I go to, and that's King's Room Barbershop, and I'd like you to go there too. Three locations. Northland Drive, Caledonia, and at 821 36th Street. King's Room Barbershop. .com is where you go. There you'll have schedules, exact locations. Haircuts are $19. Please mention your old pal EZ when you go. Donut Dan says, asshole of the day. RV manufacturers. Rebecca says, Trump for pardoning the Chrisleys. I'm just going to make it Thor Motor Coach. That's the company. Assholes of the day. Congrats. This person says Molly. Asshole of the day, Thor Motor Coach. Thank you for being here. You folks are great. Enjoy your day if I don't talk to you on Patreon. Thank you. Have a good one, folks, and bye-bye.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.